This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Move over, millennials. There's a new generation of employees on the scene and they are about to change the workplace as we know it. Enter Generation Z. Much has been written about this generation's preferences, activities, consumption patterns, and social media habits, targeting them as consumers, but their professional dreams, expectations, and readiness for working life remain hazy. How will these young people fit into a talent landscape that is rapidly evolving due to rising automation and AI? And how pervasive is this supposed entrepreneurial spirit among them? This is Resource Center with me, Audrey Raj. On the show today, we're going to give you a 101 on Gen Z, their expectation when it comes to job fulfillment, what motivates them, and how to prevent a brain drain with this entrepreneuring bunch.
Hi, Audrey. Thank you for having me. So my name is Kik Chu. I'm the general manager at the Asian Institute of Finance. I focus on market research. So a lot of the stuff that I work on would be research on topics of relevance to the financial services industry, with some angle in relation to human capital and talent management kind of topics.
All right. So, Gekju, let's just start off with how we're going to describe the people that we're talking about today. Generation Z or Generation Z? Do we go with the British English or how are you used to calling it?
Right. I started off saying Z, right? To be very honest. But obviously, in the office itself, we have people calling it Z. Mm. So I started doing Z all the time. So it was like sometimes Z, sometimes Z. So if you ask me, I don't really have a
preference?
Well, my preference is actually Z.
Okay, then let's just go with Z. Generation Z it is. All right.
Right.
Okay, so who are in the Generation Z bracket? Do I qualify as a Generation Z? You're looking at me like you're trying to gauge how old I am.
Yeah,
right now.
I will end up having to ask you a very personal question, like how old are you, Audrey? Like when were you born? In order to sort of like tell you like whether you belong to this generation or not.
Okay, let's just say I do not belong to Generation Z, but who are in Generation Z?
So there is this, I think people are still sort of wondering how do you define this particular generation, but the general consensus right now is that it typically starts shortly after the mid-1990s, right? So they're fairly young.
I don't qualify.
Right.
Okay.
And obviously I don't either. Yeah, so at least we are clear on that.
And right. So are there any other ways to define Gen Zs?
Okay, so I think here I might have to go a little bit into this thing called generation research theory. So again, I don't want to get too boring or to geek out over this topic, but the theory here basically talks about how a generation gets defined by specific developments or events that happen. Mm. So these events could be economic, it could be political, it could be social, it could even be technological or even combination of these. Right. So, and the idea here is that if you as a generation, you grow up shortly after these events, you tend to share similar experiences, right? And these experiences shape your values during your formative years, because obviously, you know, your values keep changing. But these events shape your values during your formative years, and this in turn affect your attitudes and your belief systems. So in that sense, generation research is really about what is happening out there in society and how it actually impacts you and affects how you look at things and your belief system as well as your value system.
Okay, so we're looking at people of the digital age.
Absolutely.
And age 23 and below.
Yeah, well, if you talk about slightly after mid-1990s, I basically would say they're probably maximum 21 years of age, right? Okay. So they're just about to enter the workforce. They haven't. They haven't quite, or they're on the verge of entering the workforce.
And of course, the AIF has produced a report on Gen Z and their workplace preferences, just the kind of people that they are. They are going to be the workforce of the future. So tell me a bit about this report and why focus on Gen Z and come up with a report on them in the first place.
Okay, So again, I go back to what AIF does, right? So the Asian Institute of Finance is a think tank set up by Bank Negara Malaysia, as well as the Securities Commission. And the focus is to enhance human capital development as well as talent management for the financial services industry in Asia itself. So, and here we are looking at Gen Z. Oh, right, I should go back to Gen Z. So here we are looking at Gen Z. They are going to be this new group of professionals that will be entering the workforce. So the whole idea behind the research was to give Malaysian employers, especially those in the financial services industry, a heads up on this new group or this group of talent, right, about to enter the workforce, how to recruit them, how to engage, how to motivate them, as well as how to retain them, which is always very, very important. So that's the reason why we decided to embark on this before they are about to enter the workforce.
And what have we found out about Gen Z? Wow. Maybe you can give us some of the key findings from the study.
That's actually quite a bit, right? So maybe I'll start off by talking about their traits and characteristics first.
Sure.
Right. So the one thing that we discovered, and this was quite interesting, is that they are generally very caring people, very considerate, and very strongly independent. Right. So the thing here is the sense of independence is really not about, you know, being very strong-headed or being very stubborn for the sake of it. It's more about being self-sufficient so that they do not impose on other people, they do not trouble people. So again, it goes back to the fact that they're very caring and they're very considerate. So as a group, they're very confident about getting along well with people and working well with people. So that's one thing that was coming across very clearly. The other thing was also about how this care actually extends to their care for society. So I don't know whether you've read about some of, you know, the things that have been said about the Gen Z, but they definitely want to make a contribution, a positive contribution to society. So in our survey itself, we noticed that almost half of them have actually done voluntary work at their own initiative. It's not because they have to fulfill a school requirement or you know, to do something for a class. It's something that they, on their own, wanted to do.
Right.
So, yeah, so I thought that was pretty amazing, you know, for these individuals. I think the other bit here is that they actually prefer or they practice or believe in deferred gratification. Yeah.
All right. Okay, that is surprising.
Exactly. Because I think with Gen Y, we always heard about instant gratification.
Right.
But here, it's actually quite different. So they believe in sacrificing immediate pleasures or current pleasures for greater rewards in the future. Right. So totally very different from the previous generation. Yeah.
Are there any theories to why this is?
Well, again, it comes back to the fact that they believe, you know, they believe in making sure that they need to put in the effort first before they can so-called reap the benefit. They, again, see, it's all about the fact that they recognize the fact that they're still young, they have limitations, there is room for them to grow, there are many things that they still don't know, they want to learn more about them. And so obviously, when you supposedly have these gaps or these limitations, you need to put in the effort first before you could sort of try and achieve something greater. So it's all about making the necessary effort, the putting in the hard work in before you could sort of like realize something greater.
Seems like a very mature mindset for some youngsters out there.
Yeah, but I think it's all very nicely linked, you know. I think it goes back to this whole idea that they're very considerate, you know. So and the fact that they shouldn't be imposing on people. So the whole idea here is, well, if I have my limitations and I expect like instant gratification, in a way, I'm imposing on people, right? Like you need to somehow address my need, but at, while at the same time, I have my own limitations. So for them, it's actually quite different.
Yeah. What other traits are we talking about?
Well, the other interesting thing here is they're very open-minded and very curious. And to a large extent, it's due to the fact that you know, we are all living in a very interconnected world these days, right? So they value new experiences. They thrive on challenges because what they're looking for is, again, opportunities for them to grow, for them to develop as individuals, right? So that's one bit. And I think you're going to hear me say this very often, which is opportunities to grow, to develop. Those things are very important to them, yeah. Another interesting thing is change. So these are individuals who are growing up in a rapidly changing environment. So change is nothing to them. They are very comfortable with change. They embrace change. And they are very adaptable. So it doesn't faze them at all. Okay. The one thing that they don't like, though, is uncertainty. Yeah. So you might wonder, like, what's the difference between uncertainty versus change, right? I mean, it's still talking about how things are in a flux, kind of.
Correct.
Yeah. So I could give an example. So for example, if your boss came to you, Audrey, and said, I'm going to move your program from, I don't know, 11 a.m. to sometime in the night. All right. And this is going to take effect 1st of June. That's a change.
Yes.
So if you were Gen Z, you would sort of say, okay, that's life.
Yeah.
Right. And then you sort of work around it. The uncertainty is when your boss comes to you and said, you know, Audrey, I'm going to make a change with your program, time slot. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when it is. But I'll let you know.
Right, right.
But I don't even know exactly when I'm going to let you know.
I see the difference. Okay.
Yeah, so so it's that kind of a thing. So if they know the change, they know they can work towards it and they know that they can work around it.
And they can adapt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something that they are very comfortable with. So again, it goes back to this whole idea that they embrace new experiences. They welcome new experiences. And they welcome the challenge of these new experiences.
We're taking a quick break now for some messages, but when we come back, 70% of Gen Zs in Malaysia want to work abroad. Why? And how do we retain these hardworking, dynamic, tech-obsessed professionals? That's up next on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj. On the show with me today is General Manager at the Asian Institute of Finance, Ki Gek Chu, and we are discussing the new generation of employees on the scene, Generation Z. So, some of the main points from this study, I understand, is the fact that most of these Gen Zs, they want to start their own business after gaining sufficient work experience and capital from a job. I think this is like more than 60% of them.
Yes.
They want to start their own businesses.
It's definitely their aspiration, okay? And there are many motivations for it. Obviously, they recognize the fact that, you know, when you start your own business, it allows you to generate a greater income at a faster pace, supposedly. So it's definitely the appeal of the monetary appeal, for sure, of starting their own business. But the other bit is also because they feel that they can do more for the family or even for the society when they start their own business.
Ah,
so okay. there's that little bit as well that factors into why they perhaps would want to, you know, start a business either on a full-time basis or on a part-time basis. Yeah.
Okay, and also they're enthusiastic about overseas employment?
Ha, right. Yes, we have about 70% of them, and that's a very significantly high number of these Gen Z who would definitely pursue opportunities outside of Malaysia.
Oh, any countries specifically?
Right. I'm so obviously, right at the top is Singapore because it's fairly close by.
Close enough to come home on the weekend.
Exactly. Why? Because they care about the family. Yeah. They, you know, so it allows them the opportunity to branch out and pursue their so-called professional dreams. But at the same time, it allows them to come back and care for the family or attend to the family. Yeah. So Singapore is right at the top. We have Australia as well as the UK.
And not so much America?
Well, America is there. It's definitely in the top five. It's just not in the top three. Yeah. So if you notice, there's a trend here. These are obviously definitely far more developed countries, definitely more developed in terms of technology, in terms of their way of working. So obviously, these are the appeal. So one of the reasons, obviously, is not just money, but it's the job prospects itself, the fact that they feel they will be able to progress and develop better and faster professionally outside of Malaysia.
Any other trends, work-wise and otherwise, when it concerns Gen Z?
Right. So the thing that's also quite interesting is that they don't usually hang out with their friends after school. Okay, I mean, usually at this age, you tend to sort of hang out quite a bit with your friends. So in the research itself, it's like they don't really hang out, you know. But then on the other hand, we discovered that, oh, yeah, you don't hang out with them physically after school, but actually when you go back home, you are still
connected online.
You are still, like, chatting. You are still, like, connected with your friends via the social media, via messaging platforms, etc., apps. And so in a way, you are still hanging out with your friends after school. Mm. It's just that you're not doing it physically, but it's more in a virtual, remote manner. So I thought that was quite interesting. And of course, again, they also make sure that they allocate sufficient time for the family at home. So I think that's that little bit as well. So,
what about work-related trends? What else are the Gen Z looking at when it comes to a fulfilling work experience?
Most of them actually have some work experience. Right. Some of them have done part-time work the conventional way, which is either at a F&B outlet or at a retail outlet, you know, during their holidays or the semester breaks. But some of them are already having a regular income on their own.
That's important to them.
Yeah, because, see, they need to, again, be self-sufficient, right? So that they can provide for themselves, they can provide for the family. The other point is these individuals aspire to have a higher academic qualification beyond the bachelor's degree.
That actually brings me to my next question. When it comes to tertiary education patterns, what kind of courses are they looking at in order to be a skilled workforce of the future?
Again, there is definitely a greater diversity of courses that I'm seeing with this particular group of individuals beyond the usual business, law and medicine kind of courses, for sure. But then we have to also recognize that, you know, this diversity of choices to a large extent depends on what is currently being offered by universities as well as, you know, places of higher learning, right? So, so that's one thing. People who are taking business classes, for example, they definitely tend to gravitate towards, let's say, the financial services industry. You know, the other popular choice would be professional services such as auditing or consultancy. So, and if you talk about whether the choices are really practical ones, you know, again, quite interesting. They are certainly more concerned about whether it's something that they will enjoy doing. So the professional joy and satisfaction of a career is far more important than the fact that, oh, this is definitely going to help me make lots of money.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So during the interview, we have actually come across individuals with fairly unconventional career choices,
like?
Such as being a professional gamer. Ah. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, is that a career? But it is. I found out.
We sound like aunties actually having to question that.
Absolutely, but yes. Very antique, yeah. Or even a paleontologist. Right. Two extremes, right? Yeah. So there you go.
How practical are these choices for their preferred working roles and industries in the future?
Well, see, the thing, again, it goes back to why there is this interest to pursue opportunities outside of Malaysia. Because to them, the labour market is no longer limited to Malaysia, right? So even even if, let's say, this is perhaps not something that is very pragmatic or very popular here in Malaysia, I can pursue this career outside of Malaysia.
So they view themselves as global citizens.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole point here is they're so connected these days to, you know, on the internet, right? So, yes, so there is this physical boundaries, there's this physical space that you operate in. But beyond that, what you do during your free time, how they spend their time, whether it's entertainment, whether it's education, whether it's knowledge, it's definitely beyond the geographical boundaries of Malaysia, for sure. So the same goes for employment opportunities. It is no longer just limited to Malaysia.
So you were saying earlier that they're not entirely motivated by monetary benefits. They need to find some sort of fulfillment in what they do. And it also has to be something that they enjoy doing when it comes to their job. What would you say are the expectations and priorities for Gen Z in the workplace then?
They are pragmatic in the sense that, yes, money is important, mm-hmm. okay, but the professional satisfaction is certainly far more important, right? So because of that, again, the work that they do needs to be challenging. It needs to be giving them the opportunity to continue to grow, to continue to develop professionally. Again, like what I said earlier on, mm-hmm. growing and developing professionally is very key and very central to them. They embrace challenge. So that kind of work is definitely something that they would appreciate. Routine, repetitive work, on the other hand, is definitely not something they would like.
And they're at a perfect age for not wanting to get into repetitive jobs, you know, with the emergence of AI and automation in everything we do.
Exactly. And that's exactly why, you know, the emergence of AI, the fact that there is AI right now, it sort of fits in very nicely. Mm. It should allow employers to be able to cater to this particular need of this generation, right? So it's really about how employers understand them and figuring out what's the best way to engage them professionally. So we need to understand that they do not shun or they do not shy away from challenges. They embrace challenges. They want opportunities. They want opportunities for them to learn new things, to grow, to develop. Now, the other thing also is they appreciate a more flexible kind of a working environment. Mm. Pretty much like yours here, just based on what I've seen. So you're talking about flexible working hours, and it's not like as if work must always be done or performed only at the office. So it's those kind of stuff. Mm. Yeah.
Well, one of the interesting points that I noticed in this report was that for those studying or planning to study business and economics, a career in the financial services industry is the most preferred choice, followed closely by other professional services.
Right.
Any theories to why this is? If they're not so much driven by monetary benefits?
Well, I think this one, it's not really tied to monetary benefits. It's really more about the fact that they enjoy or they are inclined towards studying business, studying economics. Mm-hmm. So it's not because, oh, I know that this financial services industry pays very well and therefore I opt for business or I opt for economics. Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's because they gravitate, they like this kind of subject matter. And naturally, because of that qualification, they are saying, oh, okay, what would be the possible job opportunities out there? And that's how it comes in. It really is less driven by the monetary benefits. Now, if you go through the full report, there's definitely a chart that says, oh, okay, what is it that you're looking for in the job? And pays well is right at the top, you know. So, yeah. And again, it's not like as if it's contradicting. The point here is, yes, they're very pragmatic, right? Because they need to take care of people. They need to take care of society, right? So money definitely is still very important. But it's not like at the expense of their professional satisfaction or joy. Mm. So if there is a trade-off, you know, if let's say for this amount of money or salary that I'm getting, but on the other hand, I'm stuck with this routine work and I'm not going to be really professionally motivated, money really is less important. They will definitely be on the lookout for better opportunities.
All right, just before we go, Gekju, any advice for employers out there on how to retain Gen Z? Because you mentioned earlier that almost 70% of them are actually okay with leaving Malaysia in order to seek greener pastures. How do we keep them here and keep the skilled workforce for the future?
And the experience even.
Yes, yes.
Right. So I would start off by saying that the danger is even after they graduate. So even before they have accumulated the necessary experience, so the incentive here is about how then do you entice or recruit them before they venture out to other markets. So it's not just about retention, it's really about making sure that we get them before some other markets do.
How do we chop them first?
Chop, yeah. So yes, monetary benefits may not be so important relative to other things, but we still nonetheless need to accept and acknowledge the fact that wages and benefits are important to these people. And employers need to consider that the competitive landscape for labour in Malaysia is no longer limited to Malaysia. So if they are thinking about their wages and the benefits for these individuals, they need to think global. Now, obviously, it cannot just be, you know, wages and benefits and whatnot, right? So it's all about this professional satisfaction and gratification. So the work diversity has to be there. It needs to be something that continuously engages them. We need to look at how we can continuously help them grow and develop professionally, right? We also need to take into consideration that they have aspirations to start their own business. And they're planning to start their own business, not immediately, but after, right? After they have acquired sufficient capital, after they have acquired sufficient experience. So what does that mean? That means you're likely to be losing an experienced staff by that time. If somehow you don't make the necessary arrangement to allow them to realize this entrepreneurial aspiration of theirs, because that's exactly what's going to happen, right? If you don't help them realize that through the existing working arrangement, the chances are very high for them to just move out and pursue their business dreams, right? So the thing here is, I think employers definitely need to be a little bit more creative. You know, I think that's what it is these days. It's no longer about sticking to existing conventional packages or incentive plans. It's really about thinking outside of the box and sort of seeing how best to engage them as well as to retain them.
I've been speaking with Kee Gek Chu from the Asian Institute of Finance about Generation Z. If you missed any part of this show or would like to catch up on some other shows that we have done on Generation Z, go check out our podcast at bfm.my, or better yet, just get the BFM mobile app and let all your favorite podcasts come to you. My name is Audrey Raj, signing off for Resource Centre on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.